where we can flash our victory onto somebody else. Praise the Lord. All right, because you never, if you want to see this church full, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be part of an empty church. I believe what God is doing here. I believe in New Covenant Church International. I believe in what God is doing through our bishop and his wife. I believe in it. But I tell you what, God can't trust us if we're still acting like babies ourselves. We get new people coming in here, people just getting saved, and instead of helping them out, we're telling them our problems. And these are Christians. They just got saved. And they're supposed to be looking up to you, looking and seeking you for help, and you're telling them all the stuff you're going through. Come on! It's time to change things. And you can tell anybody who didn't make it, that there's some people, the Alexander family are at the hospital. I didn't get all the details, but I heard there was an accident with the Alexanders. So we know that that's a reasonable excuse for not being here. But there's some other excuses that I've heard that I can't see. I mean, and I'm not even going to get into them. But if you really want God in your life, if you really want what God has for you, then you're going to be in a place where you're going to hear what God has to say so that you can appropriate what he has for you. Amen? Amen. Faith comes how? And how? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God bless you, Elder Smith. Good to see you, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, we're going to talk about crossing over the appendix. I told Bishop this morning, I said, I'm going to preach a crossing over message too. He just started laughing. But we're going to give it an appendix. We're going to talk about crossing over to accomplish victory this morning. And I want you to know that Satan, our enemy, is already a defeated enemy. He's already been whooped by the Lord Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, some people want to stop at the death. They always say, well, Jesus whooped Satan on the cross. Well, let me tell you something. If Jesus had stayed dead, guess what? Satan had won. See, Jesus died. Yes, he whooped Jesus whooped Satan by dying, but he also whooped him by getting up. Amen? Because if he had stayed dead, then the Bible says that Satan held the power of death. So being dead and staying dead means Jesus stayed under Satan's dominion. So when Jesus rose, he proved he had the power over death and the devil. Jesus whooped him and he whooped him good. I tell you, he kicked some booty. Let's just get ghetto on it. Satan is a defeated foe. But see, that's a nice thing to say. But if you're not experiencing the fact that he's been whooped, if he's still whooping on you, then it don't mean nothing that he's already whooped. It reminds me of a story I heard about a situation that happened in World War II during a prison camp. And there was a real mean commandant of this prison camp, always ordering the POWs around, screaming at them. They were real scared of him, you know, because he would torture them if they didn't act right. So then one day, the Allied forces finally got to that prison camp and beat it, and they had the commandant, and they tied him up in the chair. And so then they opened up the prison doors and let the prisoners out. But then the commandant screams, "Get back in your cells!" And they ran right back in there. Now here he is, already tied up in a chair, already been whooped. The prisoners were set free. But as soon as he hollered, "Get back in your cells!" But that's exactly what happens to a lot of you Christians. The devil has been whooped. He has been beaten. But yet, you who have been set free by the mercies and the power of God, sooner the devil says, get back in that cell. Some of you are like, oh, glory. I guess I better get to a scripture. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. I heard that, Elder Claire. Elder Claire always picking on me, I tell you. Y'all pray for me. I have to serve with this sister. I tell you, the elders, they just like picking on me. I don't know. I'm the picked on elder, I think. That's what I think. I don't know, Elder Claire. I think y'all got it. I got it over you. Everybody always mess with me. Don't they? Don't they mess with me, Mom? Yeah. Amen. See, Mom know where the money's at. No. See, when I bribe's good. All right. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. It says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not forsake thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. God will not fail you, nor forsake you. Amen. Amen. Could you put that first slide on for me, please? I want you to see a parallel in the New Testament. See, God expected his... Can somebody get the front light up here? Thank you, Elder. God expected his people to cross over to the other side of the Jordan. Amen. Amen. And there were enemies on the other side. There were enemies in that land. God said, I have given you the land. It belongs to you. It's yours. Now, in order for them to have what God has promised, they had to put the sole of their foot on that thing and tread upon it. If they did not take this particular action, even though the land was potentially theirs, even though it belonged to them, even though God had already conquered ahead of time, they would not have received the benefit of the Canaan land until they had done that. In order for them to do that, it was necessary for them to cross over. If they did not cross over, then they would not get what God had already had for them. And you see that in Numbers chapter 14. You don't have to turn there. But I love Joshua and Caleb. Caleb is a man. I mean, Caleb's my man. He's one of my heroes in the Bible. Caleb spoke up, and Joshua spoke up and told the people, those people over there in Canaan are bread for us. They said, we can eat them good if the Lord has favor with us. So the other spies who happened to go over to the land with them, there was 12 spies who spied out the land before they ever attended the crossover. 10 of them sat up there and said, well, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. How do you know what you were in their sight? That's about stupid and ridiculous. See, you may think you are a grasshopper in Satan's sight, and that's what he wants you to believe. But you don't have to believe his lie. You don't have to accept what Satan says he sees you as. What you do is accept what God sees you as. Amen? This is the problem with a lot of people. A lot of people put a magnifying glass in front of the devil and make him bigger than what he really is. Satan is not any bigger than what Jesus has reduced him to. Jesus has reduced him to nothing. And we're going to see that from the scriptures. But see, the same thing that Joshua and Caleb and the group of Israel had to do, which was to cross over into the promised land, you now have to do with the land of promises that God has given unto you and me. The Bible has told us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that he has given unto us many great and precious promises, whereby we may be partakers of the divine nature. God has given us a multitude of promises. One man once said that there was about 7,000 promises in the Bible. Now, how many of y'all have claimed 7,000 of them? I don't even know if I've claimed 15 to 20 of them yet. I'm trying to get up to 15 at least. Imagine 7,000. Glory to Jesus. One of those promises is victory and authority over the devil himself. The enemy that would attempt to hinder you from everything that God has for you. See, Bishop told us last week, and I was so glad when he said it, because this message was in my spirit for a couple of weeks now. And he reminded us of the fact that because of where God has taken us to, that Satan would rise up and try to attack us. Unfortunately, not many people have heeded that word. It's like everything else that seems to come from this pulpit. Some people receive it, and some people let it fly over their heads. It frustrates me. I hate to say it, but it really does, because I care so much about people. I want to help people so badly, but there's nothing you can do for people unless they first learn to build up faith. Because I can't be your God. Some things, when people call me up and tell me about certain problems, oh, I hurt. I feel for them. But how much more can I do except pray for you? And my prayers are not going to always get you through. God expects you to do your own prayer. Praise the name of Jesus. So, we have been given authority over the devil. He is defeated, and you and I have rights and privileges over him. He is not your boss. You are his. You are his master. You tell Satan what to do. Unfortunately, it means nothing until you take some action. See, just like Joshua and Caleb and the rest of the Israelites were to tread upon the land that they were given, you and I must tread on serpents and scorpions. And over all, not some, but all. Say all. A friend of mine once said, all means all, and that's all means. It don't mean anything else. Oh, you got some theologians out there that want to qualify certain things, you know. For example, when the Bible talks about that God wants to save all men, it's his desire that all be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. But there are some theologians who have their particular Calvinistic type theology that says that God has predestined only a certain few to get saved. So when it says all, they want to change that to all classes of men, or all the men that God has predestined. God didn't say that. He didn't put in a bracket here, but God didn't put any brackets there. He said all. When he said all, he meant all. He meant all the power of the enemy. God has given you and I authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That means that leaves Satan with no power left. He ain't got nothing left. Oh, he's got some power, but you can tread on it. You can tread on it. You can stomp on it. Glory to Jesus. You do not have to sit there being scared of the devil. I tell you what, any Christian that's scared of the devil do not know God's word, or if they know it, they ain't walking in it. There's people who have head knowledge of this book, but they're not living its vital truth. I tell you, Satan don't scare me one bit. He scared me when I was a young Christian because I didn't know any better. He scared me just a little bit. One day, I had a supernatural experience where he tried to mess with me in my house, tried to scare me really bad, tried to attack me. And then I started crying out to God, God, why is this happening to me? And God told me, you stand against him. I'm giving you authority over him. You stand up against him. God was not happy with my attitude that night. But I tell you what, I stood up against him, and I'm not going to say I ain't had no problem since, because I've had plenty of problems with the devil since. But I tell you what, I've never been afraid of him since. Never. I have no fear. Cast out demons. Let somebody demon-possessed come in here. I'll show you who's going to be afraid, me or the devil. Not because I'm somebody. I'm not some great somebody. I'm telling you what each of us have in Christ Jesus. You and I can do the same thing. The Bible says that all believers, those that believe, will cast out devils in the name of Jesus. You and I have that same authority. Amen. Glory to God. I hear Margaret over there saying amen, because she knows. I've heard me and her have talked in the past. I know she knows about casting out them devils. Glory to God. You do not have to be afraid of somebody whose power has been reduced to nothing on your behalf. Satan has been defeated. Say Satan has been defeated. Oh, glory to God. See, now here's what Satan wants you to do. If he can't get you afraid of him, then what he's going to try to get you to do is to fight for something that already belongs to you. Now listen to me carefully. There is a spiritual warfare that you and I must engage in. But we are not fighting to get victory. We are not fighting to get the victory. You and I already have the victory. What we are doing is we are standing against the devil, reminding him that, hey, Jesus has already whooped you. He's already whooped you good, so you must cease from your activities. Now, see, the thing is, Satan is a liar and he is a usurper. What he will do is, if you don't know that you have the victory, he will try. He will try you. Just like that bully down the street. See, you don't stand up against the bully. Oh, he'll keep messing with you. Punch him one time. Oh, somebody says, well, Brother Troy, don't be teaching the kids. There's kids in here. Don't teach them violence. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody, this is an addendum. You can take this or leave this. But I tell my kids, if somebody mess with you, whoop them. Then pray for them afterwards. These bullies don't want to hear, oh, Jesus loves you. Go ahead, slap my other cheek. Give them your other cheek, and then after they've done that, you know, I remember watching the show back in the 80s. It was Michael Landon, I can't remember. It was long before Touched by an Angel, but Michael Landon was playing an angel. And so then he's in this bar, and they get into a fight, and this guy hits him. Pow! Michael Landon turns the other cheek. The guy hits him again. Pow! Michael Landon said, well, I turned the other cheek and picked the dude up and threw him across. Hey, Mike said, I obeyed the word. He only required once. Glory to Jesus. One of these days I'll explain that scripture real well so that you don't take it too literally. I mean, it is a literal application. But then also in the same chapter he talks about plucking out your eyes and stuff like that. So if you really want to go and be hyper literal, we're going to see you walking around like this. Or like this. man, let me get to the word. Glory to God. Y'all need to stop messing with Brother Troy so he can get to the word. All right. Amen. Now, this passage right here is a statement of fact. All right? It's not just a promise. It is a statement of fact. God meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Now, I want to show you this passage in some other translations. If you can give me the next slide, please. Not the one that has the seven steps. I'm sorry, I took that out of order. But it should have... Let me see. Maybe I can help you. Yes, that one and then that one too. So just that one first. Now this is from what is called the Cotton Patch Version by Clarence Jordan. Clarence Jordan was a man of God who, even back in the 50s, when there was a lot of racial tension down in the South, he built a community where blacks and whites all worked together and showed and loved each other. And this was not popular back in those days, but he went against popularity. And he wrote, and he wanted people to understand the Word of God, so he wrote his own particular translation of the scriptures. And put it in a southern way. I kind of like the way he says things. I mean, this is so, it's so cool. Now, he says here in Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 18, he said to them, "Yes, and I saw the whole satanic structure smashed like a bolt of lightning from the sky. Look here, I've given you the ability to trample on snakes and scorpions and over the and on the power structure of the opposition, and nothing will be able to stop you. But don't get all hepped up just because the devilish guys have gave in to you. Instead, you should be happy that you're enrolled in a spiritual cause." Oh, glory to God. But we can say that the whole satanic structure has been smashed by Jesus. His structure has been destroyed by Jesus. Now, the King James Version uses the word fallen. You can, instead of that, give me those definitions that I had of a fallen. The King James Version uses the word fallen, which talks, you know, and I want you to see that Satan is a fallen being. Oh, he started off all right. You know, many scholars, you know, scholars are, you know, I read a lot of books and theology books and stuff like that, and I find out scholars differ on a lot of different things. Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28, some scholars really and truly believe that that's talking about Satan and his downfall. You know, they say it starts off as he was Lucifer, an archangel. Other scholars are differing on that. They don't think that it has anything to do with Satan and his origin. I just personally believe that it is dealing with Satan and his origin myself. You know, depends on, you know, you can decide who's going to influence you, okay? And I've been influenced to believe that. Because I don't believe that God would intentionally create a murderer and a liar from the beginning. That just doesn't sound like God to me. Why would he just intentionally create some being that would disrupt his universe? Well, Jesus, you know, we ain't got nothing else to do. So why don't we create this angel and have him just go out and destroy everybody and cause people to sin, and then you'll have to die for him, okay? Sounds good to me, Father. What do you think, Holy Spirit? Well, I'm bored. Let's create one. No, I don't think that happened. I truly believe that Lucifer, or whoever Satan is, I believe it was Lucifer, started off as a good angel and fell later due to his own initiative, his own free will, his own pride and arrogance. I don't believe that God had anything to do with it except to let him, allow him to exercise his own free will. Well, Brother Troy, why would God allow that, knowing what he was going to do? Well, gee, why would God allow you to do some of the stupid things you do, knowing what you're going to do? Why would he allow me to do some of the dumb things I've done? Knowing what the consequences were going to be. Now, the thing is, God already forewarned me of what the consequences would be before I did those stupid things. Amen? I suffered the consequences, and I cried out, God, why did this happen? You know, and then when you get, some of you parents who got kids, you do that to God, and then when one of your kids do the same dumb thing, and you sit up there and say, now listen, you little, I told you, I warned you. I told you what was going to happen if you did that. And there's God saying, goodness gracious, hello. Man, I got to get to the Word. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Anyway, we see some of the definitions of falling, and it's to decline in power, glory, wealth, or importance, to become insignificant, to lose rank or position, to decline in weight. Some of y'all wish y'all could be falling like that, don't you? I want to lose some weight. All right. But it doesn't mean weight as in heavyweight, you know. Value, price, to become less as a fall, stop, fell, 2 points. To be overthrown or captured, to be destroyed. To undergo conquest or capture, especially as the result of an armed attack. The city fell after a long siege. To experience defeat or ruin. Jesus did all of that to the devil. He made him experience defeat and ruin. He captured him. He conquested over him. And I have so many scriptures. I was amazed as I was studying this message, how much the Bible, especially the New Testament, has to say about the defeat of Satan. I was so amazed by this, and listen to me. I've got tons of books. Those of you who have been in my house, see I got a library that's vast. Tracy like, Anyway. In that library, I've got a lot of books on the devil, spiritual warfare, stuff like that. But the funny thing is, I have never seen, except maybe one little book I got called Satan, a Defeated Foe by Charles Usher, which is an excellent book. It's out of print, and you can't have my copy. I love it. but I've seen very few books that spent a lot of time emphasizing Satan's defeat by Jesus Christ. Most of the books seem to deal with, you know, who Satan is, you know, his roles as tempter and stuff like that. And you might have maybe one chapter or one paragraph on the defeat of Satan. Man, what I came up with takes a thick volume just to talk about how Jesus whooped him. That alone could cover one book. Now, if you could get those seven things, I just messed Paris all up. I gave her a certain order and told her, stay in this order. Now I just got her all out of order. This is what, from the study of the Word and the research that I've done by help with the Holy Spirit, this is what I found Jesus' sevenfold victory over the devil. Now, I know I can't give them all to y'all, and I already see my time is running out. Oh, God. I want so bad to teach it all. I want to go through each one of these points with y'all. But you know what? I can't. If you want the outline, just come to me afterwards, and I will make you copies of it. I'll have a copy for you next week, but you got to tell me you want it. And you got to tell me today. Goodness gracious. Okay. You will get it. But you can see, Christ has redeemed us out of the hand of the devil. And there's more scriptures than that. There's way more scriptures than that I could have put down. I had to condense this outline. Christ has taken all the authority that Satan had. See, there's some scriptures I didn't put up there that talk about Satan being the prince of this world, being the prince of the power of the air. Oh, he had all that authority, but only over those who have not accepted the redemption of Jesus Christ. Anybody who has accepted the redemption that Jesus offers to you, Jesus has taken the authority that Satan had over you. Satan has no rights over you and me. He has no rights whatsoever. And you have to declare that to him. Oh, he had rights over you. Before you got saved, before you came over to Jesus Christ, Satan had all kinds of rights. He could tell you, let's go down this alley, and you would just follow along. Let's stick that needle in our arm. Okie dokie. You would do it. Because he had rights over you. He'd pull you, and you would just go on with him. You know how I know? Because I was a good sinner. Oh, I was an expert at it. We all, Elder Smith said, we all were. Amen. Oh, I think I was one of his best. I know that when I came up and gave my life to Jesus, Satan was over in the corner crying. I lost a good one. Why? It was a good one. Amen. He lost some good soldiers. He lost it because all of you here today can testify. Amen. You can testify that he lost you. So when Jesus died and was buried again and rose again, it wasn't so that he can beat Satan from a physical aspect, you know, get into one of them. You know, see, Jesus had all power already. Jesus, from the moment he met Satan, could have stomped him like a roach in the ground. But see, it had nothing to do with power. Satan, because of our foreparents, Adam and Eve, Satan had legal rights over us. So Jesus had to submit himself to death in order that he can contend for our legal rights to be free from the devil. So now the Bible says that you have been redeemed from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his dear son. And you have received forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. You have been redeemed from the kingdom of darkness. See, when you were in that kingdom, you had to do what the ruler told you to do. But you are no longer a part of that kingdom. You have been redeemed from that kingdom. You are free. You can see that you have been, that Satan, his kingdom has nothing but bondage in it. Nothing but bondage. Christ has destroyed the devil's works. Turn with me to 1 John 3:8. That might be the only other scripture I'll be able to show you today. Well, you go ahead and turn there. I'll just quote it. The Bible says that for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Somebody say destroy. Say that again. I love that word. Say destroy. That means Satan's works have already been done away with. Jesus destroyed his work. That doesn't mean that, you know, because, and I have to say this because somebody might be saying, well, why is he working? He's so active today. The reason why he's active is because the child of God has not yet learned to appropriate the destruction of Satan in their lives. They have not yet put the sole of their foot upon that thing that Satan still has a hold of them in their lives. Some of you are bound by your past. I tell you, I believe in freedom encounters. I believe in those things. I believe that we need to, because freedom in the freedom encounters, we give you the word of God and try to teach you about certain things. But I've known people who go to the freedom encounters and still ain't free. still get blocked by their past. All you have to do is take God at his word and believe it, no matter what, no matter how you feel. See, God's word, believing God's word has nothing to do with your emotion. It has nothing to do with how I feel. Oh, well, I feel free today. Man, I tell you what, if that was true, I would never feel free. I mean, I feel in bondage every time I wake up in the morning. Oh, Jesus, I don't even want to see this work. I don't even want to go to work today. I wouldn't even come to church. Sometimes I just don't feel like coming. How about you? For the past couple of weeks, when Bishop assigned me to preach, I didn't feel like preaching. Oh, don't get me wrong. I love preaching. I love teaching. I love it. But them couple of Sundays, I didn't feel like it. I didn't want to. I tried to get out of it. I tell you, imagine if I was a pastor, pastor in my own church and felt like that. I had to learn right there when Bishop told me to preach. I had to learn I can't say no, because if I'm a pastor, I just can't get up one morning and say, well, I don't feel like preaching today. That'd be ridiculous. Now, you know, of course I could call one of the elders or one of the associates, but I'm neglecting my duty. So, you know, sometimes you just don't feel like doing certain things. Well, faith has nothing to do with your feelings. The Bible declares that God, Jesus, destroyed the works of the devil. That means he severed them. He dissolved them. He made them into nothing. And you have got to begin to act like it. You've got to act like the devil's work have been destroyed in your life. They have been severed. They have been broken. They have been put to nothing in your life. If you don't act like it, then it won't happen. But glory to God. I tell you, his works have been destroyed in my life. One of the works is sickness. This sickness, accusation, temptation. I only put three things down, but there's a lot more work that the devil has that he tries to use in your life. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. God has set you free from oppression. You've just got to recognize it. He has set you free from sickness. You've just got to recognize it. That doesn't mean you're not going to get attacked with sickness. It's just when it happens, you stand against it. You say, well, I know how I feel. You know, I'm not telling you to lie either. Because if somebody called me up, if I'm sick, and somebody called me up and say, how you feeling? I'm going to tell them I'm sick. But by stripes, I'm healed. I'm going to declare the word of God. Because the word of God has more authority than how I'm feeling. With me, it does. Last week when we was in the elders meeting, I was feeling whooped. You remember that. but what did you hear me say? You heard me say, by his stripes, I'm healed. I kept declaring that. The very next day, I was healed completely. I tell you what, God will do that for you. Now, that doesn't mean it always happens as instantly as it happened for me last week, because some days I've had to fight weeks. But I will stand against that thing, because I recognize the word of God says that the devil's works have been destroyed. His works have been destroyed. Let me go through the rest of these real quick, and we're going to close out. Christ has spoiled all principalities and powers. That word, spoiled, is an archaic word that means plundered, or has taken back everything that the devil has ever stolen from us. So if the devil steals something from you, Christ has already spoiled him. He's already taken back the authority that the devil had over you. He's taken back the death sentence that the devil had over you. And your finances, Satan has no right to touch your finances, because Satan has plundered him. You get in there and take back what the devil has tried to steal from you. Glory to God. We believe in debt elimination in the church and in your life as well. We're going to see this happen. Amen. But see, you got to be a tither, because the Bible says that when you tithe, then he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. He will rebuke that devourer for your sake. But you got to do what God wants you to do. Christ has destroyed Satan's power of death. Woo, glory to God. That's both spiritual death and physical death. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to live forever. You know, my sister used to be under a pastor who used to teach that you ain't never got to die physically. That's stupid. Jesus, the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But you can determine when you're going to die. You can live up to mom and pop's age. You know, you can live up to 50. But I tell you, when I see them two and I see how active they are and their age and everything, I say, I'm going to live that long. Amen. So you can determine, I'm not going to die early. You don't have to die early. With long life shall he satisfy you and show you his salvation. Glory to God. Amen. But Christ has taken the keys of hell and death. If you're here and you ain't saved, my friend, you don't have to go to hell. Now, there was a time you had to. Now, if you was following the law to the fullest, then you might get to go to the nice part of hell, because it was divided into two. But Jesus has taken the keys of hell and death. He has taken those prison keys, and you don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to experience the second death, which is the lake of fire. You don't have to do it. We've been set free from that. Jesus can now determine who goes and who doesn't. And his determination is simple. Accept me, you get to go with me. Don't accept me, well, see ya. Me and my wife was watching this Christian comedy show last night where it was funny. The guy kept coming to, he was coming to heaven, and he's talking to the gatekeeper, and he's trying to say, my name's on the list, and arguing with her and making a fuss and everything. And so finally she says, well, I tell you what. She said, I like you. Why don't you just take that elevator over there and press down? Christ has put all... We don't want that to happen, amen. That's why we need to go out and witness, praise God. We need to tell people about Jesus. We need to let them know that Satan no longer has the authority to determine whether they go to heaven or hell or not. They have the authority. They can say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and accept me. Or they can say, well, I believe in God, but, you know, everybody has a God. There's only hell on earth and all that stuff. Well, you'll find out. Last, I really wanted to preach on this one. I could spend a couple weeks on that, on number 7 alone. Christ has put all things under Jesus' feet. And because we are the body of Christ, guess what? All things are under our feet. All the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, they're under our feet. That's why you are, and I can tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Because they're already under our feet. All we got to do now is tread on them. Tread on them. I remember, a couple of years ago when I used to preach at this one church. And, you know, I used to start off my preaching by saying, raise your Bibles in the air. Wave them in the devil's face. And I used to do that. And then one guy kept doing, he would do like this. You know, I said, oh, disobedient lout. I said, wave them in the air. So I asked him, when I tell you to do this, why are you doing that? He said, because you said wave them in the devil's face. Well, the devil's under my feet. You know, I had to repent. All I can say was ouch on that one. I say he would be a little more scriptural than I am. The devil is under our feet. You know, the Bible tells us that we have been identified in Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection. But guess what? We've also been identified with Christ in his ascension. Ephesians 2 and 6 says, a literal translation of that says that we have been enthroned with Christ. you and I, positionally speaking, are on the throne with Jesus. Now, we've been left here on earth physically because God has work for us to do. He can't just bring us all to heaven as soon as we get saved, or nobody else will be getting saved. Amen? God, Jesus wants us, he wants his whole world saved. He wants that man walking down the street there saved. So, us being on the throne, even though we should glorify God in that. We should bless God for that. And we should take it every advantage that we have of that. Remember, it's not just for you. You see, Satan has blinded the minds of them that see not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. It is our job, my job and your job, to take authority over the devil, over those lost souls out there. You see, I love preaching on the blessings of Christ. I love preaching on financial prosperity. I love it because I believe in it, because God has done it for me and my wife. I love preaching on healing. Oh, I wish I could preach a series on divine healing. I love preaching on that kind of stuff. But I tell you something else. I love even more talking about soul winning, because that's what Christ has put me on this earth for. And all the blessings of Christ mean nothing to me if I'm not winning anybody to Christ. It means nothing. My first and foremost blessing is for somebody to get saved. I want people saved. Now, I want the other stuff too, but I want people saved. Amen? Amen. How many of you have been blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Take your Bibles and just wait. Elder Smith said, wave them at the devil's feet. Wave them at the devil. Wave them in his face. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is God's word. Woo! I tell you, God is so good.
I'm encouraged.
Now, this is what I want you to do. First thing I want to make this one altar call, and then I'm going to put you through an exercise. Now, first, is there anybody in here who does not know Jesus as their personal Savior? I'm not even going to ask people to bow their heads or close their eyes. You know why? Because the Bible says, and it's okay to do that. We should do that. But this time, I don't want to do that, because the Bible tells us that if we cannot make our confession before men, if we're ashamed of Christ before men, then he will be ashamed of you when he goes to his Father. There's no such thing as a secret salvation. You've got to declare. So if there's somebody in here who has not yet made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If that's you, raise your hand. Is there somebody in you who has not yet made Jesus Christ your personal Savior? One more altar call. Is there somebody who may be in what I call a backslidden state? You came to know Jesus Christ at one time, but for one reason or another, we don't need to know the reason, you turned away from him. But you have heard God's word today, and you desire to get back with him. If that's you today, raise your hand.
Amen. Well, we made those two altar calls. I've given you opportunity. So the rest is up to you. Don't come see me afterwards, okay? I'm busy. I'm serious. I got to count money. See, because a lot of y'all leaving Pastor Troy to have to do a lot of after service stuff too, so you can't see me. See one of the other elders. But praise God. Now, I'm going to lead you in an exercise. You have your opportunity now. You can still come up here if you're in one of those two conditions. But you better do it now, because once the service is over, I'm gone. Oh, Tracy. Oh.